comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it's the show where you matter. Now, do you remember the show that I did just a couple of nights ago where I talked about this whole thing with WikiLeaks? You remember that what I said was, the place to focus is not on WikiLeaks, but on who is it in our government working for us that let this happen. Well, I got email in support of what I said. I got email that said, hey, you know, I like your show, and you know, you usually I agree with you, but I think you're wrong on this one. Folks, it's a huge, huge problem, and there's a story out today, just today, this afternoon, about this very thing. You know, I said everybody's calling for the head of Julian Assange on a platter because he published these leaks. Well, that's what WikiLeaks does, you see. They publish information like that. And I said that's the wrong place to look. The heads on a platter that we ought to be calling for are the heads of the people that allowed the leaks. So this story today has to do with NASA. NASA, as you know, is closing down the shuttle program. And so what they're doing is they're getting rid of thousands of surplus items as they prepare to close down the shuttle program. Well, the Office of the Inspector General took a look at what they are doing and how they're doing it, and they found serious, and I'm quoting now, serious breaches in NASA's information technology security practices that could lead to the improper release of sensitive information related to the space shuttle and other NASA programs. Well, that's interesting in itself, isn't it? I mean, NASA's got sensitive information. I thought they were public. NASA's got sensitive information. Well, we get told that's our civilian space program. And so they've got secrets? Well, yes, and it's on these computers. 10 of these computers have already been released to the public. They found that there were a whole bunch of hard drives missing from the Kennedy Space Center. But they found them. They found them inside a dumpster where they were being stored for sale, and that was accessible to the public. They found several pallets of computers being prepared for sale that were marked with NASA Internet Protocol addresses, which could help hackers gain access to NASA internal computer networks. Okay. There you go. It's all throughout the government, apparently. Even at NASA, they've got secrets that you're not supposed to know. And by the way, when they get ready, that you know they want to prosecute Gary McKinnon for taking a look at some of those secrets. But when they get ready to sell their computers, they sell them with the secrets. We'll be back right after this.
Come on.
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Seelman. Jeffrey Seelman normally works in cooperation with Amy Lamb, and they have a site called StarClear. She could not be with us this evening, but Jeffrey is with us, and we are delighted to have him here. I'll tell you a little bit about him in just a moment. Jeffrey, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm very happy to be on the show.
Jeffrey is an internationally recognized professional psychic exorcist. He's on the faculty of the International Metaphysical University. Began practicing transcendental meditation at age 16 as a means to reduce stress. He's a practitioner of transcendental meditation to this day. He now uses psychic abilities and teaching skills to help people stop living in the past, shed their negativity, and to dispel the myths about the spirit world. Jeffrey, on his site, it says his mission is to teach people how to protect themselves and their property from the effects of negative emotional energy and evil or unwanted spirits. So, Jeffrey, I want to dive right in here and ask you, do you think, well, apparently you do think that there are evil spirits. Am I correct?
I do. I believe that negative people who are dead are essentially negative spirits, that people don't change very much when they die. And so people who have a lot of negativity when they pass on, they take with them their personalities. And the only thing that happens when a person dies is that their physical body simply ceases to exist or lies in the hospital bed or whatever, and the rest of us actually becomes fully a spirit. And so negative people, they're not going to change much when they die. There's some misconception that when people die, they really have a lot of changes happen. I really have not found that to be true in my work. And so there are a lot of people out there who are very negative that are dead. And there are different kinds of negative spirits. There are just negative people. Most negative spirits are just negative people who are dead. And some are very powerful. And that would be what people might call a demonic spirit, which would be the counterpart of an angel.
All right, let's talk about evil for a moment. Is evil, because you made a distinction between evil and negative. All right, so is evil a state of mind, or does it have personal attributes?
Well, there are some people out there who feel that evil is the love of sin. And so I think that evil, to a certain extent, is a state of mind. It is wanting to hurt people or hurt other spirits, to cause trouble in an individual's life or the family fabric as well. And so that is one thing that could be considered to be evil. It's intention to do negative things to living people. So living people do evil as well as spirits do evil. Evil is the intention to do negative things, and also, like I said earlier, a wanting to do it. It's not some kind of mistake or a mental disease or defect, but actually something that is very willful.
Are there evil spirits that were not one-time human beings?
Sure. I think we can look at this from the perspective that not every living creature is necessarily a human being or has been a human being, we can take a look at this in the context of aliens, that there are many planets out there that are probably inhabited, and so also that they have living beings on them, and when they die, they also are spirits. So there are spirits out there that are alien, that are not in the physical realm at the present time. And I also think that it's possible that some of the spirits out there may not have been physical at any time, although we really don't know for sure.
Okay, I guess what I'm getting at is that when we start talking about the spirit world, and that is, that's the world you deal in, that you work in, when we start talking about the spirit world, there are a lot of theories, a lot of philosophies, and a lot of beliefs that are not religious about the spirit world, but there are many that are religious. And most religions that talk about the spirit world speak of evil spirits. Most religions that talk about the spirit world talk about demons or jinns, very powerful, very malevolent spirits that existed prior to the human race and are not human and never have been. So in biblical terms, they're called either fallen angels or demons, and some people make a distinction even between fallen angels and demons. So I guess what I'm getting at is, does that class of evil spirit exist, or is that one of the myths about the spirit world?
It's a good question. I believe that the idea of an angelic spirit would be in a very evolved spirit that may or may not have lived in a physical realm and may have lived before our human time on Earth, you know, the last several hundred thousand years. And the concept of an angelic spirit, that we all have an ego, and sometimes those egos are fragile and damaged, and some people and some spirits believe they deserve better, and I think that's where the concept of the fallen angel comes into, so that a spirit that is once very good under the wrong circumstances, Kevin, could actually become a fallen angel and essentially work for the other side, meaning that they have turned evil and are now rebelling, maybe because of an ego issue, which we are all capable of. I think spirits are also capable of having trouble with their egos, and so that some demonic spirits may at one time been positive spirits or good spirits that have fallen by the wayside and done evil. I do think that there are spirits out there that certainly have existed before the human race and are out there doing very negative things. And because when spirits that have been around for a long time have practiced doing negative things to living people and their energy fields, and also other spirits, they get really good at it.
Okay. So is that yes, there are demons, or no?
Yes, there are demons out there and demonic spirits. In, from my perspective, as a psychic and an exorcist, would be negative or evil spirits that are very, very powerful and are capable of doing great damage to a living person's energy field, and under the right circumstances, we can get into that as well, under the right circumstances, have been known to produce telekinetic activity, which means that they've been able to move physical objects or physical reality, physical matter around, and that's where we get poltergeist activity from for the most part.
Okay, now, would then because I've heard that you brought this up about poltergeist, and I've heard this theory, in fact, right here on this show, I've heard this theory, that poltergeist activity is actually being generated from someone who is in the room. It's coming from their mind. And so let me ask you this. Would you say that poltergeist activity is being generated by the mind of someone in the room? Or would you say that it is an entity separate and apart from all the humans in the room?
I can answer it this way. It's partially correct. The idea is that there are two parts to us. There's the physical part, and there is a non-physical part, because I believe that everything relates to science, physical sciences and non-physical sciences where I work. Poltergeist activity essentially comes from non-physical sources. It can be generated by individuals that are in an environment or a particular home or a room. It can be generated by spirits. It can also be generated by the past, which means that events that have happened in the past generate emotional energy and leave an impression in the environment, and that can be picked up at a later date, and that also can account for some of the poltergeist activity that occurs today that people find when they investigate homes and businesses.
Okay, now, your group, your organization, I don't know how else to refer to it, StarClear. The mission and purpose of StarClear is to help people know how to protect themselves and their property from the effects of negative emotional energy and evil or unwanted spirits. If this poltergeist activity is sort of, as you said, it can at times be sort of imprinted on the location itself. If that's the case, then it's really more like a recording that's playing back, isn't it?
It can be, Kevin. The idea would be that in a certain home, let's say that home is 100 years old, and a person who lived in that home was doing the same thing every single day, such as sleeping and getting up and walking down into the kitchen, they certainly have left an impression upon the emotional atmosphere of the home, and that could be considered to be sort of like an emotional recording of the past. So that is one issue that I find when I go into people's homes, is that there's a lot of emotional energy from the past. Ghost hunters, when they're looking with their EVP equipment and other types of equipment, very often find some of this activity and record it, and it is something from the past. Also, like I said, that some of this activity is coming from the now, being generated by spirits who have either temporarily or for some time invaded the home or business environment. And also, like you'd mentioned before, Kevin, living people also generate emotional energy that comes from the non-physical side of ourselves, our spirit, essentially. And so we generate emotional energy from the very first day that we're born, and that also accumulates in the living and working environment.
Okay, so if we have a particularly evil or unwanted imprint, if you will, and it's really disturbing to the people that live in the house, but it's not an entity, but just kind of an imprint on the energy and the atmosphere of the house. How would you go about clearing that? I mean, if it were a recording tape, you could just record over it or you could erase it. How do you do that with the environment of the house?
It kind of started out this way, Kevin, very briefly. I was born with psychic ability and the ability to see spirits sometimes. I was also very acutely aware of emotional energy around me that was also very prevalent in the classrooms when I was in elementary school and so forth. And as I grew older, after I was in the Air Force, I studied this, how to go about actually moving emotional energy. So when I started my business in 1992, the concept was that I would only work on banishing negative spirits from people's homes. What I found was that there were multiple problems in people's homes and businesses, that the accumulation of emotional energy in the home very often was attracting negative spirits and sometimes was the only culprit and the only thing that was really happening in the home. So what I had to do was actually develop a technique, methods to actually move the emotional energy out from the different rooms of the home or business. And I do that actually by force of will, which is very much like exorcism, which is the command. I actually move emotional energy out of the environment room by room. And so it's kind of like pushing non-physical energies by using other non-physical energies of course, like I said, everything being science, that's simply to move emotional energy out of an environment. I only need to use another kind of emotional energy. And because I'm so sensitive to the emotional energy, not only can I feel it, but very often I can see it, Kevin, that I can tell when a room is pretty much free and clear of emotional energy, not to mention any kind of negative spirits. And, of course, the final judge of that would be the homeowner or business owner who would feel quite differently in their home or business environment after I'm finished. So it's a good point that you made because I have to do both. Essentially, when people call me, they don't always know what's going on in their home or their business, so they just know something doesn't feel right. There might be some severe complaints. They feel something is in there, possibly a spirit. And it might just be emotional energy that has accumulated from...
All right, we have to step away for break. Sorry to have to interrupt at that point, but break is taking over. We will be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Working through some technical difficulties on the TV station during the break, but I think we've probably, hopefully, got that solved. What the deal is with that, folks, we've got a new camera, and it's apparently not feathered out just right, but we will. We got the whole weekend to work on that. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Seelman from StarClear. Jeffrey, I'm a little bit curious about why you chose the name StarClear.
My business was originally called Vanguard Psychic Investigations, which I started in 1992, Kevin, and I dedicated that particular business at the time to banishing negative spirits out of people's homes and businesses. And that is pretty much all I worked on. As I became more familiar and experienced with this kind of work, I realized that there was a lot of other issues besides negative spirits in people's homes. Also, like I mentioned, the accumulation of emotional energy from past and present occupants not only attracted negative spirits, but could also cause trouble emotionally to present occupants. And so I was looking for a different name. In 1999, I changed the name of my business to StarClear. It really was something to do. I've always been fascinated. I had some experiences when I was a young child with aliens, and in my present work today on the astral level, I still work with aliens, and they have helped in their own way to teach me more efficient ways to help other people. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking of a name that actually would fit with my concept of a universal system as opposed to something just sort of very earthly. So hence the name StarClear came about. Clear, of course, clearing individuals, homes, and businesses of energy, different negative energies, and also negative spirits. And star meaning pretty much encompassing universal communication and ideas that this is not the only planet that is around and has problems. So StarClear put together, that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. I guess it was a little bit self-indulgent. And also, just a little bit of trivia for that, I will tell you that at that time, Caller ID was coming out. And I actually changed the name of my business very briefly to Midwest Psychic. But on the caller IDs, which essentially have all the same number of digits, it actually read out as Midwest Psych. And so people thought that a psychiatric hospital was calling or something, you know. And so I realized that I needed to make a shorter name. And it was something, you know, that kind of came to me when I was thinking about names. So StarClear was the right name, and it fit really well, and that remains today.
All right, now let's go back to your mission statement, because there are a couple of points that I want to be sure that we give you the opportunity to cover here. And one of them is that your mission is to teach people how to protect themselves and their property from the effects of negative emotional energy and evil or unwanted spirits. So what effects are we talking about?
Emotional energy is something that we all generate, good energy and bad energy. And there are very positive energies that we generate that I don't get a chance to talk about very often because of my business. We know about love and kindness and all the wonderful things that are out there. But mm-hmm. negative emotional energies, hatred, rage, excessive anger, actually are real energies. Even though that we can't see them, we can feel them. So we've all probably had the experience of walking into a certain room or environment and saying, hey, you know, this place doesn't feel right. You know, there's some negative or bad vibes going on. What we're picking up on, Kevin, is actually emotional energy. And so, you know, I can't be everywhere at once, and I'm 51 years old, and as I get older, I realize that, you know, because I can't, you know, clear everybody's house or home or business one place at a time, I've gone more and more into the teaching mode where realizing that we all have some psychic ability. We all essentially are spirits who have a physical body at the present time. We can learn how to protect ourselves through certain techniques that I teach, like the strengthening of our aura. Mm-hmm. Our aura is not just a bunch of pretty lights. It's actually a functioning system. Just like our physical body, everything pretty much has a function to it. So it's also true of our spirit, Kevin. And our aura is a functioning system that is meant to protect us from the effects of negative emotional energy that we can pick up in environments, from relationships, from other people, work environments, all of that. So,
and most okay, but what I'm getting at, when you say effects of negative energy, are we talking about feelings? I've got a hunch that something's not right, or are there real, tangible effects that accrue to us from this negative energy?
Negative energy creates blockages from drawing up positive energies from non-physical sources. It also creates inner stress. It also can lead, of course, we know that stress can lead to a variety of other issues, including health issues. So negative energy, emotional energy that's trapped within our own body's energy fields, can cause all sorts of trouble, and it's not something that really is just on a psychological level. We're talking about emotional energy being a real energy that is not seen but is felt, and that accumulates in our body's energy fields, not only from ourselves generating it from day one, but also picking it up from other people that we come into contact with throughout our lives. And so that has all sorts of effects on us. I find that when people begin to clear out a lot of this trapped emotional energy, which actually is it's almost like an ice inside of us. It gets so hardened and compacted inside of us throughout our lives. It's kind of like a gas that compacts, that really blocks us from getting nurturing energies from non-physical sources. So our spirit essentially should be nourished by these non-physical sources, and very often they're blocked by emotional energies that we have accumulated from these various sources. And so this leads to all sorts of problems, including anger. A good analogy that I like to use is something like road rage, you know, that we come across somebody who maybe blocks us, does something wrong in the car next to us, or is driving too fast or too slow. And for some reason, we feel like, you know, killing them. You know, just why does that happen? Well, the idea is that it's like a lightning rod effect, Kevin. We have a buildup of emotional energy that's a real energy inside of our system. And when a small event happens, when a small amount of emotional energy is generated by ourselves or other people, it activates all of the other emotional energy that's stored within us in a negative way, and that can lead to a lot of anger and a lot of rage and some inappropriate behavior and inner stress.
Okay, so then the effects, while it's happening to us, we may not see it, we sense it, but we don't see it. But the effects of that come out in our behavior then.
Yes, and how we feel. And I teach people how to strengthen their aura and also to create devices from non-physical energies, which essentially can be created by our spirit, because that's how spirits function, essentially. We have to think of the science of it, that spirits actually travel from one place to another by the power of their thought. The power of our thought can do certain things, but the power of a spirit's thought is greater because there is not physical reality that gets in the way. So we're able to create certain devices that actually reflect and deflect negative emotional energies, acting sort of like a filtering device that are coming from any number of variety of sources, including people who are thinking about us, people we come into contact with, people that we love, and people that we don't love. So everybody's releasing different kinds of emotional energy at any given time of the day or the night. And some of this energy is good and some of it is not. And so it's good to learn how to create a filtering system, a protection system that will keep negative emotional energies from entering into our body's energy fields and building up, accumulating until there are problems. And most of us do have problems because of this.
All right, let's talk about some of the myths of the spirit world. This is one of the other points that you mention on your site. And I find that to be very intriguing. What are we talking about here, Jeffrey, with the myths of the spirit world? Because you say you want to help people dispel some of the myths.
I believe I have no argument with scientists whatsoever. I think they're completely on the right track, and they have a pretty good foothold on what physical reality is all about. What they're discovering is that there is another side to it, essentially what I call non-physical reality and non-physical science. That is where our spirit lies, which is essentially part of our or very close to our physical body. And the other side, what some people call heaven or the other side or whatever terminology that different religions and different traditions have for this, that there is physical reality and non-physical reality, and spirits actually exist in the non-physical reality. And that one of the myths that I try to dispel is that when people die, that they do not leave their personalities and their emotional energies behind them. And that's a very serious thing. And that does disagree with some religious traditions that believe that when we die, that everything stays behind. Everything is forgiven, and we become something new. But I really don't believe that. I think that after we die, that the only thing that we leave behind us is the physical body, and we take with us our personality and all of parts of ourselves that are not physical, our emotional energy, which also means our personal problems and our character defects. So I try to warn people against things like suicide. You know, that's not going to be an escape because we cannot escape ourselves. And when we die, we simply continue. And we would not really even know that we're dead right away unless we saw our physical body lying there. And a lot of people who have had near-death experiences can relate those very same stories. That's one myth that I'd like to dispel.
Okay, well, let me play. Well, we got a break coming up. When we come back, I'll play the devil's advocate on that for just a moment and get your response to it. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Seelman from StarClear. And Jeffrey, when we went away for break, I said I want to play the devil's advocate. And particularly on this point, you know, we're talking about myths. You want to dispel myths about the spirit world. And I just want to get your reaction to this. And we'll go from there, because you talked about one of the myths from your point of view is this idea that when we die, we somehow are transformed or we change. And you said that from your point of view, that's not what happens. What happens is whatever our personality was, whoever we were, continues with us after we leave the physical realm. And that's one of the myths that you want to dispel. Obviously, and you said that this goes against some of the teachings of some of the religions, and that's what spawned this question. So from the point of view of those religions, they would view what you're saying as a myth that needs to be dispelled. How would you respond to that?
Well, from personal experience, I've had lots of different supernatural so to speak, experiences that have happened to me. One was at a university in 1987. I simply was studying there, and I think was sort of a spirit guide induced thing that happened to me was I saw myself in a past life actually having a truck accident, even though I was born in 59. This had been probably 10 or so years before that. And so I actually felt what it was like to die. I saw the whole thing on a visual level, and that I simply rolled out of my body after being thrown from the truck, and I looked down and I saw my physical body there. So, and I felt exactly the same. The only way that I knew that I was dead was essentially by looking down and seeing my physical body in the ground. I didn't feel any differently on an emotional level at all. And that is one thing that I base it on. I've had other experiences as well. So I guess it's a really good point that you're making, you know, that we're talking about belief systems here, and that many religions believe that things are left behind. But I would say that from my own point of view, there really isn't any evidence that is what happens. That seems more of religious philosophy and wishful thinking, that somehow that when we die, that we don't have to account for our actions, and somehow magically that our personalities are left behind, or that all of our problems and character defects are left behind. There really, to me, isn't really much point in living or in the idea of an afterlife, really, because most religions do believe in an afterlife. Mm-hmm. And so we have to look at that. You know, what is an afterlife? You know, what do we become? What is God? What are angels? You know, essentially, we have to come to the conclusion that angels and God or higher spirits would all be spirits, would all be any spirit being.
Well, you know, there's actually an example in the Bible that what you're saying is accurate. I don't know if you're aware of it. I just thought of it. There was a king, the first king of Israel was named Saul. And toward the end of his life, as a matter of fact, I think it was the day before he died, he had gotten to a point where he could not communicate with God anymore. So he went to a woman who had a familiar spirit, a medium, and he asked her to raise up the spirit of Elijah. He wanted to speak with this prophet and get information. She did. And when the spirit appeared, he was recognizable both by apparently by sight and also by the information he gave. That would be personality. But he was recognizable to Saul as being that prophet. So he had not changed.
Yes, and neither do we. It's a good point, Kevin, and neither do we. There's got to be some reason for us to be here, and I also believe that the other side, or what people call heaven, is real, and that spirits live in that dimension or dimensions, and actually people do take a look at their lives and try to work as best they can on looking at them and seeing what they did right and what they did wrong. I tell people that now is a real good time to work on your character defects. We all have them, because we don't necessarily encounter the same kinds of stressors that we, on the other side, that we do here, the same kinds of perceptions. Now, spirits, of course, from my perspective, are not only able to see the spirit world or the other side or heaven, but they are also able to see the physical world. And so they have a greater perception. and that is one of the reasons that they interact with humans. And they're just like people. Most people are good, and some are not. And most spirits are good, and some are not. In my business, I deal with the ones who are not. But I do like to tell people, you know, that just because in my business, you know, it's kind of a dealing with negative things and getting rid of negative things, that most spirits are good. And what spirits do, essentially, when they interact with human beings, is that they try to give us some kind of guidance or intuition, maybe a good business idea. Sometimes they try to help protect us. And I mentioned the warnings of when there's upcoming trouble or danger. Many people can attest to getting intuition from some place. They don't always know where, but they kind of get a feeling about, hey, you know what, I really don't trust that person. That person doesn't give me a good feeling. I don't have a very good feeling about going out tonight or going to that party or this job or the different things. Sometimes that comes from higher aspects of ourself, and sometimes that actually is communication that comes from spirits who are meant to guide us and to help us. And I think we all have those spirits available. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. There's a lot of emotional energy and blockages inside of our energy fields that keeps us sometimes from receiving some of this information that would be telepathic in nature, because all spirits communicate telepathically. There's nothing physical on the other side. Spirits do not have physical bodies, but they do generate a form. Most people, that when they see spirits or claim to see spirits, they rarely see spirits that are naked. It's kind of interesting, you know. I know sometimes it kind of gets a laugh, but when people generally talk about spirits, and I saw a spirit, whether it be somebody with psychic ability or something that happens once in their life, they always seem to have clothes on, whether they're clothes that exist from this time or another time, that spirits generate their own form and can actually change their form as they become more adept and more used to being on the other side. So if somebody dies when they're 80 years old and they're not in good shape and their physical body was not in good shape, maybe they're not able to walk, essentially they learn how to generate an image that is more along the lines of how they feel. So they might actually appear to be, say, 25 years old or 30 years old. They don't have physical form. They also generate clothing. Sometimes maybe just robes, sometimes maybe actually something more sophisticated.
Well, I tell you what, when I die, the first thing I'm going to generate is a full head of hair. That's what I'm going to do.
I know what you mean, you know, and it's so true, you know, and I've been able to, you know, see my mother, who passed away in 2001, and she died of emphysema, and she was 72 years old. And it's kind of interesting, Kevin, that when I see her, when she comes to visit me once in a while, that she actually appears to be about 25 years old. And she had me, I was the firstborn of our family, when she was 29. And so I've never seen her that young. And so I think it's kind of interesting that spirits try to naturally generate an image that is very pleasing to them. And how
all right, we have another break taking over. We'll be back with Jeffrey Seelman right after this, so don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Jeffrey Seelman. And Jeffrey, we talked about the work that you do in clearing negative energies and so forth, and teaching people to protect themselves from negative energies and also from unwanted or evil spirits. Doesn't that imply that we're more powerful than they are?
Kevin, it does. It does. And the truth is that we are more powerful than they are because there's a scientific reason for this. While we are living in the physical world and have physical bodies, sort of dual bodies, spiritual and physical, we're sort of like sparklers. We're really giving off a huge amount of energy to run a physical body, and we can use that energy in order to protect ourselves from attacks by negative spirits and even demonic spirits that essentially can come close to the physical realm, but they are not actually physical. And so we have a lot of energy at our disposal at any given time with the proper instruction, the proper techniques, the proper methods to be able to defend ourselves from negative emotional energy attacks by spirits. And that is usually what the attacks are all about. So negative spirits, demonic spirits, usually try to amplify our angers and get us to do negative things that we would not normally do. So they might strike. They might strike when somebody is thinking about hitting their spouse, and when that person might actually find some reason before that happens. That is when a negative spirit might try to amplify that person's anger. Telepathically by sending rage and anger, and how they do that is they come very close to us and they generate huge amounts of rage and anger, which are translate into real energies that can permeate through our energy fields, our auras, if we don't protect ourselves, and can amplify our anger, like I mentioned the road rage analogy earlier, and actually throw us over the edge and get us to do something that we would not normally do that could be very negative and harmful for other people.
You're on the faculty at the International Metaphysical University. What's the difference between metaphysical and theological?
Theological being essentially philosophy and the study of the concepts of non-physical reality. I would say the metaphysical side of it is actually putting that into practice. It's more than just philosophy. It's actually practical methods and known effects. And what we do know about non-physical reality and not just the philosophies behind it, there's an awful lot of really great instructors at the International Metaphysical University. I guess one of my favorites would be Stanton Friedman, who teaches, who's actually developing a course there now all about UFOs, and he's one of my favorites, go-to guys. I had a chance to interview him once on my radio show, and kind of like the Santa Claus of UFO studies, you know, it just could not get enough information from him, you know, in the hour and a half that I interviewed him. But the International Metaphysical University is full of wonderful, talented instructors that can teach people practical methods, hypnotherapy, UFO studies, all sorts of different kinds of arts and sciences that are on the side of the metaphysical that can actually help people with their lives and are not just philosophy, but actually things that can benefit people in their daily lives. My particular course there right now is the Art of Psychic Protection. I'm also developing a course that will be done in about a month or so, my second course there, which will be Home and Business Clearing. That, of course, being the idea that every one of us really has the ability, or most of us anyway, have the ability to not only protect ourselves from the effects of negative emotional energy, be they generated by living people or spirits, and also the ability to clear and maintain our home environment, because most of us live in homes and work in businesses where there's been an awful lot of people in the past, and maybe the businesses that have been in our business environment have failed. And there's been a lot of emotional energy generated of a negative nature, and also true of our homes. Maybe, you know, 20, 30, 40 people have slept in our bedrooms. And so when we move into a new home, we clear out and clean out the physical environment, wash the walls, the windows, the floors, replace the carpets, all of that. One thing that we don't do normally is we don't clear the environment of emotional energy from past occupants, and that is something that I teach as well.
Okay, I want to open up the telephone lines. You and I will continue discussing your work, but I'm going to open up the telephone lines and invite people in our audience to join us. Folks, the telephone line here in the studio, and this number will work internationally. It will work anywhere on planet Earth and possibly planet X. It is 623-444-5889. Again, 623-444-5889. If you're in the USA and Canada and you need to call me on toll-free, you can do so. It is 888-223-4599. And for those of you not in the USA and not in Canada, I don't have an international toll-free number, but I do have a flash message option on the website. So if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. On the right side of that, you will see a link, and that link is the flash message link, all right? Also, if you click that picture, it will take you over to Jeffrey's website. We have a caller online, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Jeffrey, I'm gonna make a slight variation in your statement about where the evil comes from in this world. It has been my experience that most of it comes from ignorance and people taking the path of least resistance. If you combine that with what you said, then the negative forces take advantage of that ignorance and try to amplify that ignorance.
Were you able to hear that, Jeffrey?
I think you're right, Brent. You know, that certainly there are some, and I'm certainly not here to cut down anybody's religious tradition, because I work with people from all religions and really believe that most religions have most of it right. There's some problems with the fine print. There is the concept out there that spirits are not able to come close to and affect human beings. And so that would be one thing that could be considered to be ignorance, that all spirits are locked up in heaven, and that's where they stay, and they are not able to affect people, or that only negative spirits are able to affect people, or that only positive spirits or angelic spirits, meaning very powerful positive spirits, are able to affect people. So that would be something that would be along the lines of some misconceptions or ignorance. The reality is that the other side is very close to the physical realm. We could consider it to be a matter of degrees or frequencies, any way you want to look at it, dimensions. And so it's not necessary that we completely cross paths. It's only necessary that spirits, be they good or be they bad, are able to come close enough to our energy fields, which are spirits. Essentially, we are spirits, to be able to affect us with their own thoughts and energies. So that is one misconception.
That's just about along my lines of thinking. I'll respond to your email tomorrow morning and get back with you, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I would just like to say also, you know, that I had mentioned that most religions on our planet believe in life after death. We have a lot in common. And so I'm a friend of religions. I work with people from all different religions. I don't ask people what the religions are when I help them and teach them. And so we all have a lot of common ground. It's just the fine print where we really differ on what spirits can do. Some people call spirits a glorified body, but most religions believe in life after death and that we live forever, and they are correct.
Jeffrey, one of the things that is very real about religion is that religion is colored quite prominently by the culture in which it exists. So whenever you, while there may be some beliefs that are held by adherents to a religion, those beliefs are held worldwide, there's a great difference, for instance, between, if you use Catholics, between Catholics in the United States of America and Catholics in Mexico. If you use Baptists, there's a great difference between Baptists in the United States of America and Baptists in Germany. Your work is universal, or it's international. And caller, if you will, just hang on for just a moment. But your work being international is you have to deal with those variations of belief. How do you do that?
Yeah, I do, Kevin. And the way I start is by looking at what we have in common, which is that we all are people. And if we sit down and talk with individuals, I find it remarkable how much we have in common in our belief systems. Say Catholics would believe essentially in purgatory, being sort of the middle ground between heaven and hell, a place where a spirit might spend some time and then find redemption and be allowed into the higher realms. And maybe Baptists would believe that essentially either you go to a lower realm or what they call hell and stay there forever, or that you ascend to a higher realm and called heaven and stay there forever. So there are some differences, and I have to be kind of careful. I tell people exactly how I think, but I do respect their religious traditions and their feelings about these things. I tell them from my own personal experience as a psychic and somebody who was born with psychic abilities and who on a regular basis communicates with spirits and also has done quite a bit of astral traveling to these different places, these different lower realms and higher realms. And so I do give my opinion when I'm asked for it, and but
it's got to be quite a balancing act.
It is.
All right, let's.
I find the best thing to do is be honest, you know, and just I give my personal opinion, but I do respect that certain religions have some pretty strong feelings about what happens to us after we die. But I think it's important that each person has their own unique perspective, and I do find that even if you talk to different Baptists, as an example, that many Baptists have a different idea of what will happen to them and are not real happy about the idea of people essentially being thrown into, say, a lower realm forever without the hope of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is some contention even between or
different. Well, yeah, but and look, that was the whole point. The point is, there's if you say, well, the Baptists believe this or the Catholics believe, it's a little easier with Catholics because they do have a central dogma. But the Baptists or the Pentecostals or the whatever, it's there are great variances, and those variances are even within their own ranks. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Francois from Montreal.
Hello, Francois.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Francois.
I have I have two questions for you, Jeffrey. Do you think there's an increase since like 5-6 years, like in demonic activity, you know, towards people? And do you ever like heard of demonic spirit being like insectoids?
Demons being in the sixth. I didn't catch the last word.
Insectoids.
Oh. Well, essentially, spirits generate their own form and image, and it's a very good point that you're making, because people ask me quite frequently, how can you tell the difference between a good spirit and a bad spirit, or one particular spirit and another spirit? And I say it's very much like our physical bodies. We tell each other apart by our DNA. Psychics tell spirits apart by their vibrational content. Each spirit has its own unique vibrational content. Spirits are able to generate their own form and image, and they can also change that image. Spirits that have been around for a while are able to change their image quite rapidly. So a demonic spirit can appear not only as something that is very unappealing and ugly to the physical eye in order to scare us, it's just as likely that a demonic spirit will appear as something very appealing and beautiful in order to fool us, and also in order to fool a psychic or an exorcist into thinking that they're a good spirit. So somebody has to be, like an exorcist like myself, has to be very discerning. Because when I approach or when I come into contact with demonic spirits, they usually take the countenance and appearance of something very beautiful in order to give themselves an edge if they're going to attack me. Because if they come across as something very negative, say an insectoid type unappealing appearance, it gives me a lot of clues that they probably are not a positive spirit, that they're generating something negative. This would not be true of something that might be alien. We're just talking about negative spirits here, because many aliens don't look like us and have different kinds of physical bodies. And, of course, as spirits, they might naturally look very different than we look. But if we're talking about demonic spirits, they can take pretty much the appearance and form that we see with our mind's eye of anything that they like.
All right, now, he also asked, have you noticed an increase of demonic activity in the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I think it's true, and I do think that there are a lot of negative spirits out there more than ever, Kevin. They certainly are trying their best not to have certain changes take place. There's a lot of anger and negativity in our world over economic issues, religious differences, all sorts of different things. And it's a real good time for demonic spirits, negative spirits, to try to get people to be angrier with each other and to strike out and cause violence to each other. Also, we are becoming more perceptive. We are going through an evolutionary process, and we are becoming more perceptive as a human race, and also on an individual level, and they are trying to stop that. Also, they don't want us to know that they're there. they're certainly trying to do what they can to promote the concept that negative spirits and demonic spirits are not able to be seen or not able to come in contact with the human race, which is not true. And so there's a lot of that going on out there. So there's a lot of reasons that negative spirits are here in greater numbers. They feel now is the time to be able to stop us from going through these changes, and I believe that they are not going to be successful.
All right, back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
May, Oregon.
May in Oregon. All right. Are you a first-time caller, May?
I am.
Well, you know, we have to do this. We have to play some applause for you. Okay, welcome aboard. What's on your mind? And let me tell you that we do have a break coming up, but if the break cuts us off, I'll just ask you to hang on and we'll wrap up on the other side. So the floor is yours. Go ahead and shoot.
Okay, well, I've had experiences since I was little. I've seen demons, I've seen spirits, good spirits, evil spirits. My mother passed on her birthday, October 26th.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
And thank you. I haven't seen her yet. It's like, am I cursed to see these spirits and I don't get to see my mom? That's my question.
All right, what do you think, Jeffrey?
We very often perceive different kinds of spirits throughout our lives. It sounds to me like you may have some psychic abilities. You know, your mom is probably trying to communicate with you and also being successful. And also, you should probably know that in our dream state, we very often come into contact with spirits that we know, people who have passed on, our loved ones, also other spirits, and also people who are sleeping. So we come into contact in the dream state with many different people. And so I think it's just a matter of time. I'm not really a psychic reader that predicts the future, but there really isn't any reason why your mom would not contact you. I don't get the feeling that it's deliberate, and that you're probably going still through a grieving process. And of course, you say you've had a lot of negative appearances in your life, in your mind, your mind's eye, that you see a lot of negative things. That's pretty common for some people. And so I think, you know, maybe what a good thing to do would be this, to ask your higher spirits, your deities, what you believe in. You can, you know, God or a deity that you believe in, a higher spirit or an angel, maybe to help you get into contact and have your mom give you some kind of signal so that you know that she's doing all right and that it's okay on the other side. Things are really a lot rougher down here than they are up there. And just because you haven't gotten signals from her yet,
all right, we have to step away for break. May, you want to hang on to the other side?
Sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We are talking this evening with Jeffrey Seelman, and on the telephone with us is May from Oregon. Are you still with us, May?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, Jeffrey, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence. You were speaking with May about her situation. Had to cut you off because of the break, so the floor is yours.
There's an awful lot of focus today, May, on negative spirits. And I'm not really speaking about you personally, but, of course, if you watch any particular television show, and most of them are pretty good, but, you know, they're looking for negative spirits in very dark places, you know, prisons, graveyards, haunted homes. That's not really the best place to talk to positive spirits like your mom. What I would recommend is maybe trying to do some communication work with her in a bright, sunny place. I know that in the United States here, we're heading into winter and it's kind of cold, but even in a bright section of your home, in sunlight, it might be a really good place to try to do some communication work to get some kind of signal or message from your mom, because I think that's what you want, and maybe not to take such a passive approach, and certainly not to think about all of the dark areas of the world as far as, the graveyard and the ghosts and the negative things that have appeared in your mind over the years. You know, I think those are things that you have focused on. And I'm not saying it's wrong to focus on those things, because people do those things for many, many different reasons. And so that's another subject. But to find your mom and to try to communicate with her, besides the dream state, which is a real good place to communicate. You may not remember communicating with her, and she may have already come to you and say, "Hey, May, I'm doing fine." Try some communication with her in a very bright place with the sun shining, which is something that negative spirits really don't like. It'll kind of filter them out.
I will. I rarely ever dream because they come true. So now I'm afraid to dream.
Don't be afraid of your own mind. All dreams don't come true. Lots of dreams, whether people think they're premonitions and signs of things to come, they don't come true. I myself have some pretty wild dreams also, and they're not all happy, wonderful dreams or anything. But don't be afraid of your own mind. Don't be afraid of your own dreams. Try to get some sleep at night. And remember that most spirits are good. Like I said earlier in Kevin's program here, that most spirits are good, just like people. Most people are good. So think about the good spirits and the positive spirits, and do not dwell upon those negative spirits that are out there that are in smaller numbers. They would like you to believe that they're very, 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 very powerful, when actually positive spirits are far more powerful than negative spirits.
Okay, May, thank you so much for that call. 623-444-5889, that's the number. 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you, so you can call our main number, 623-444-5889, or you, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option on my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the kevinsmithshow.com website is in the top 0.0012% of the most visited sites on planet Earth. Jeffrey, does everyone, and keep this answer real short because we have someone on hold here, but does everyone have the ability to see spirits?
All people are spirits. Spirits communicate telepathically. Spirits have no vocal cords and no physical properties whatsoever, and that would give us a really good clue that everyone has some ability to communicate and has some psychic ability naturally.
Okay, good deal. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. Boy, what a fantastic show. Sir, I was wondering if you think that, and this is something I've been wondering, if spirits or other entities in other dimensions can sometimes appear as UFOs or aliens in our dreams, and also if they influence us in that way.
I think they can, Stefan. I do think that spirits can appear as aliens because they can change their image by the power of the mind, which is a far more effective on the other side, because physical reality does not get in the way. And also remember that there are lots of planets out there, probably with lots of different kinds of life forms on them, and you may be getting visited by aliens, or at least the concept that people are being visited by aliens, and also alien spirit guides, two different kinds. There are aliens that are traveling in the astral form, which means they are sending out a portion of their consciousness in order to communicate with people. And also that there are aliens who have passed on, who are dead, that are spirits. And they also can be people's spirit guides. They can actually take an active interest in our lives. And, of course, then there are aliens that do travel in physical craft. And there's quite a bit of evidence that they have visited our planet. And they are here, and even if they are traveling in physical craft and are here, that doesn't mean that they necessarily are leaving their craft in order to communicate with us. Their atmosphere and pressure systems very often are very different, and the Earth pressure and gravity and chemicals can be very dangerous for them, and so sometimes they have to communicate with us on a telepathic level. So I think there's lots of alien communication going on. I think it's very common.
Thank you. Boy, what a fascinating concept and lots of great insights. Thank you. Great show.
All right. Thank you, Stefan. Pardon me. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you call us and you are a first-time caller, never called us before, and tonight, this is your night, please let me know when you call that you're a first-time caller. Sometimes I can detect that it's a voice I've never heard before, but after 10 years of this, I'm not so accurate with that. So if you are a first-time caller, just let me know that. Yeah, because we want to play some applause for you. That is an interesting concept that, and one that I don't think most of us had considered, that yes, in our dreams, maybe we are seeing spirits that are alien, sometimes. And it could be, aliens that have died physically and now exist in the spiritual plane, or it could be aliens that are just traveling astrally.
And are certainly here to help us and guide us. And there's quite a bit of evidence out there, Kevin, that alien cultures have not always had the best of luck dealing with our different governments. There's been quite a lot of fear and you know, possibly even some negative confrontations. And so I do think that aliens are seeking out individuals because they have better luck with individuals and are hoping to raise their consciousness level, our consciousness level. And
why?
So
why would they even care?
Less scary.
Why would they even care about raising our consciousness level?
Well, I think they care about us because I think there's a deep connection, not only on a physical level, but on a non-physical level, that I do believe, and this is another subject, but I do believe in reincarnation, and I do think that throughout our lifetimes, not only in the physical realm, that we might spend time on other planets, but also that we make friends not only in our physical lifetime, but in our non-physical lifetime. And some of those friends may be from other planets. And so some of the spirit guides could be aliens. I know that's true for me. And that so they have a vested interest in ourselves, not only on a scientific nature, but also as friends. They're looking for friends. We're looking for friends, and we can consider them to be friends. Not to say that all aliens are good, but just like people, you know. But aliens, I think, have an interest in trying to get to know us and want to see the human race succeed, and are seeking out individuals that can help them with that process, and not just looking at the idea of government, because they're not really revealing much anyway. So they're trying to help individuals from the inside out.
In a way, to deal with the governments is to acknowledge what's wrong with us. Now let me explain that. The reason we have governments is to protect us from each other, because we know each other. We know us. So we have governments that pass laws that say, okay, all of us agree that if you take something from that guy over there and it doesn't belong to you, and you go over there and take it, the rest of us agree that we're going to punish you for that. Okay, it's not because we're better than anybody else. It's because we know us. We know us, and we know the dark side of us. That's why we create governments. Governments exist to control the dark. And so if the aliens deal with the governments very much, it's sort of like rubber stamping what's wrong with us. All right, that's just my view. Folks, you don't have to agree with that. It's okay. It's okay. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Jerry from Las Vegas.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi, I was just wanting to comment about what I was just hearing about the positive aliens that want to help us. And, I don't know where I read this, but I read information probably on the internet. I don't know if it was channeled from the higher realms or from aliens themselves, but it says that there's 12 spheres of influences or 12 dimensions that you can inhabit. God lives in the 12th dimension. And to get through the 7th dimension, the only way through there is through service to others, not service through self. And these aliens, if they're trying to make themselves better, the only way they can better themselves is to better us.
What do you think about that, Jeffrey?
Well, I think that there certainly are a number of different levels of existence. In my own astral travels, I certainly encountered different levels of existence, and I think certainly when people pass on, that they don't necessarily go to the highest level. I do find that, like I said, that aliens, they don't like being, nobody likes being shot at. So I think that they certainly have changed some of their methods of communication. And one of them is to deal more with individuals that can help them and help others through radio shows, through television, through the people in the psychic business, all sorts of different kinds of people, to be able to explain why they're here and how they can help us. And I think aliens help us in a number of different ways, and one of them is they try to change our energetic field. And I'm really good at it because...
All right, we have to step away from break. Jerry, do you want to hang on through the break? All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jeffrey Seelman. And on the line with us from Las Vegas is Jerry. Jeffrey, you were answering Jerry, and we had to cut you off.
Yeah, and certainly this is, I'm speaking generally, Jerry, not about what you're talking about specifically with aliens, but sometimes I think we tend to forget that aliens are very much like us in many ways. They may not look like us and breathe the same kinds of atmospheres, but there are certainly a lot of stereotypes, not coming from you, but just generally in the human race, that aliens are very serious and there's lots of plots and plans out there, and everything is coordinated. I think some of that is true, but we tend to forget that aliens also have families, they have emotions, and they also have a sense of humor. And so I think one of the reasons they're trying to help us is that they realize that essentially that most people are good, and they're trying to help us get through a very rough spot or patch that we're going through as people right now. We're very close, to doing some very negative things to our planet and to ourselves. We have been for quite some time. And I think they're trying to raise our consciousness level by removing blockages of emotional energy. Physical sciences and non-physical sciences on some planets have been mixed together. So some of these guys are real experts at that. And they're working on individuals and not just working with governments or whatever. They're trying to reach people who can help them understand what it might be like to eventually meet aliens and find out how much really they are like us, because they're not going to be looking, they're not going to look like us on a physical level. They're going to be radically different. It's not really going to be like the ET type thing and all of that. They may be very different, and we're going to have to get used to that. But on a mental level, psychological, emotional level, spiritual level, they are very much like us. They have fears. They have families. They have wants and likes. They're very far away from home sometimes. And they also have a sense of humor. And I think it's very important to understand the aliens that I deal with in my work on an astral level can be very, very funny and very, very friendly.
That's absolutely amazing. I just hope that one day I can get actually skilled enough to be able to communicate with aliens also.
Ask. I mean, you know, Jerry, the idea is that if you actually sit down someday, maybe in the bright sun, not necessarily at night, but in the bright sun, and really wish for that to happen. So I really would like, you know, to have a very positive alien come into my life and maybe teach me something. You'll be surprised. They're kind of out there waiting for people to ask.
Well, thank you. I will take that into consideration, and I will try that.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, folks, we have enough time for one more call, a fast one. If you have your fingers hovering above your telephone right now, you've got time. We can get one call in. 623-444-5889 is the main number. Toll free, 888-223-4599. I've been a little bit amazed that we haven't received any flash messages from our listeners around the world tonight. That's a little bit unusual. We had a bunch of them last night, but it's a little bit unusual. And I'm wondering if it's because of what I mentioned earlier about how heavily culture colors beliefs about these things. I wonder if that's the reason. Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't.
A lot of cultures that are very strongly religious and have strong religious beliefs in their systems, but of course, many cultures also believe in reincarnation and alien life forms and life on other planets. And perhaps that our fine listeners from around the world are really doing a lot of listening tonight, and maybe contemplating what you and I are talking about.
Well, yeah, they're there. I can assure you of that. They're there. But I'm just, you know, things like that I'm always curious about. I'm curious about, you know, why on one topic there will be more response from around the world than right here in the USA, and on another topic it's the other way around. And yet, the entire audience is interested in those things, else they wouldn't be here listening, and they are here by the millions. So, my supposition about that is, my speculation, is that culture has a very dominant effect on the way we think about these things. I think there are many, many places around the world where when we talk about the spirit world, it's just sort of matter of fact to them. It's not here, it's something we make television shows about it. But there are places around the world that would just say, yeah, so. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure, and demonic spirits is a very frightening topic for most people, and there are lots of cultures that believe that higher spirits are solely responsible for protecting living human beings from such creatures. And, of course, I'm here tonight talking about the concept that we need to do our part to protect ourselves also, as well as higher spirits helping us. They will help us, but we need to do our part as well, and that may be kind of a different concept than some cultures are used to.
Yeah, it is quite different than a lot of the religious beliefs when you say that we are more powerful than they are. Very different, because in many religious beliefs, whether we're talking about various flavors of Christianity or different flavors for all of those. But for many of them, it's their belief that we're sort of constrained to be the victims of the spirit world. And you're saying that's not the case, and that is very different for them.
And all we have to do is learn some very practical scientific, even though it's non-physical science, it's still science, scientific techniques and methods that will protect ourselves from the effects of negative spirits and also negative emotional energy generated by people.
All right, now, I've only got about 30 to 45 seconds here, so let me ask you this. If people come to your website, is there information there on how they can learn these techniques?
Lots of it. You can just read and read and read, startclear.com. There's lots of information about my philosophies, Amy Lamb's philosophies, and my partner, and that how we can protect ourselves. And so there are things that people can do, and they can order very inexpensively, so that all over the world download right into their email. So my concept of my business is to reach people all over the world so that they can learn how to protect themselves from negative emotional energy and negative spirits. And also I teach people about alien beings as well. I have a audio lesson called Our Alien Connections, which really goes into the more positive aspects of aliens and why they're here and how we can communicate with them.
All right, Jeffrey, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment as we bring the show to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it. That's a wrap for this evening and for this week. If you haven't subscribed to K-Files, be sure you do. Tonight's the night. We send it out this week. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.